Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody to the service this morning, the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. No real announcements this morning, so we'll skip over that part. This morning we have Pastor Jim Folks with us to do the service this morning, and I think he's going to say a few words to kind of introduce himself.
My name is Jim Folks, and I'm actually a retired United Methodist pastor, and I'm more than happy to be with you this morning. Look forward to sharing the good news with you. And just ask you to pray for, we all pray together that will be what happens here, and that the good news is shared and the message is delivered and God's will be done. And so with that, I'm going to turn it back to you.
We'll do birthdays and anniversaries this morning. Happy birthday to Jim Horn, Holly Curry. Happy anniversary to Harold and Myra Beck. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
excuse me for my awkwardness, but there's a lot of pieces to this service, and I've always, the little churches I've served, I've done, been the person that did the bulletin, and I couldn't even follow it. So this will be a real interesting session today with me leading, doing so many different things, but the Lord be with us, and we'll be just fine. So confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Have mercy on us, we confess, that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and in the name of Jesus Christ your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
The first reading for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost is from the 19th chapter of Leviticus. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for the Lord your God am holy. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin, but you shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit at the feet of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord God watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. The second reading is from the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain, but though we had already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our Lord, in our God, to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery, But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak, not to please mortals, but to please God who tests our hearts. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or with a perplexed pretext for greed, nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others, though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Before I read the gospel, I want us to have the prayer of the day. Today's prayer is, O Lord God, you are the holy lawgiver. You are the salvation of your people. By your Spirit, renew us in your covenant of love and train us to care tenderly for all our neighbors. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Now the reading of the Gospel of Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Reading from the 23rd chapter of Matthew, verses 34 through 46. Hear the reading of God's word. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question: what do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? And they said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. Praise to you, O Christ, for the gospel of the Lord. This morning, I'm going to be focusing on the first part of that gospel reading, because if I don't just focus on that part, I can get long-winded. So we don't want that to happen, do we? So I want to give you a little context about this particular scripture and where it is in Matthew's gospel. Because, see, Jesus is in Jerusalem for the Passover. He spending his days in Jerusalem, and he seems to be spending his nights in Bethany, right outside Jerusalem. And so, since he's coming to Jerusalem, he has cleared the temple of the sellers and money changers. He's healed the blind and the lame. He's taught parables, taught in parables, and in general has riled up the Pharisees, who were the expert in the Torah law, and the Sadducees, who were the temple priests. And they wanted to have Jesus arrested, but were afraid of what the crowd would do. So they started asking him questions, hoping Jesus would contradict his own teaching. And Jesus has already answered a question from the Pharisees about paying taxes. You may remember what he told them. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God. And they couldn't, they just hushed at that point. And then the Sadducees had asked a question about the resurrection, which they did not believe in. And they asked him this question, and followed it with a, they asked him in the resurrection what was going to happen, because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And so then they gave the story about a man who was married, and he had seven brothers, and he died. Well, in the Hebrew laws, it was necessary for the brother, one of the brothers, to the first, the oldest brother, to marry his wife, and so he could have all, so that his brother, the brother that passed, his brother that passed, could have would have offspring. And so then they went through a story about this happening. The second brother died, the third brother died, the fourth brother died. Every one of them died. And then they said, so which one of these will be her husband in heaven? And Jesus says, you don't understand the scriptures, and you don't understand the afterlife either. And so he said, because you know, basically that there'd be a different kind of existence in our afterlife, of which we will only know about when we get there. And so that's where this scripture was located. And you know, it seemed that Jesus was always getting in trouble, not in trouble, but well, I guess he was getting in trouble. You know, when he cleared the temple, he upset them. When he taught in parables that kind of were about things that needed to change with the Pharisees, and then the Sadducees were not happy with that, because the Pharisees believed so much in the Torah laws, and thought the most important thing in the world was following every one of the 613 laws in the Torah, first five books of the Bible. So it's interesting, the Pharisees were very well educated on the scriptures. They knew the scriptures. They knew them very, very well. And they believed in the strict observance of every Torah law, because they believed that that was the source of salvation. But Jesus knew the law, and he knew God. And he knew God. The Pharisees knew of God, but they didn't know God. They knew the law. And basically God was there. Follow these laws and God will be happy with you. But Jesus answers the lawyer when the lawyer asks him, what is the greatest commandment? Trying to trip him up again. Trying to make him say something that's not jiving with everything else he's been saying. And Jesus answered, and so he asked him, what is the greatest commandment? And he said that, Jesus said, The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these hang all the law and the prophets. Let me share you a few characteristics of the difference in laws and love. Characteristics of laws, some of them are laws divide people. Laws can divide people. The characteristics of love is love unites people. Characteristics of laws excludes people. Characteristics of love includes people. We tend to get mired in argument when it comes to rules or laws. You know, we'll argue about, let me quote a scripture to you and you quote a scripture to me, and we'll, you know, it's kind of like it's a no-win situation. But love fosters gratitude and generous discernment, and it leads gratitude and generous discernment. And laws leads to what happens in your life when you feel like you've really messed up. You've sinned in a way that did something that or said something or that you weren't pleased with, because it's against this law or that law. And laws lead to guilt, shame, and judgment of self and others. Now, probably the best one of those is we may feel guilty sometime, and we may be feeling shame because we've broken a rule or a law. But we don't have a problem, and so we try to clean up our act, but we don't have a problem, do we, of sharing our thoughts about others and the things they've done, do we? We don't have a problem in judging others, it seems to be, in a lot of things that go on in our world. But you know, love leads to forgiveness and repentance. It's relational and rooted in trust. So Jesus is really saying in this scripture that love trumps law. It doesn't discount it, but it overwrites it. And so Jesus is saying that anything that we do that's not being done out of love for God or neighbor is out of bounds, because love is the good news, literally. So, but this love that Jesus is talking about is a specific kind of love. In the scriptures, there are several different words, one in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, for the word love. That was actually written in the Greek or the Hebrew. And Jesus is talking about agape love. And agape love, if you want to see what agape love looks like, just look at the life of Jesus. What did he spend his life doing? Doing good for other people. He was a servant savior. He was always healing people. He was teaching people. He was forgiving sins. His life is a perfect example of what a life looks like that's dedicated to loving God and loving neighbor. And the biggest demonstration of it that all of us should be able to relate to instantly is Jesus on the cross. Jesus on the cross. That's what agape love looks like, the way Jesus lived and the way Jesus died. And you remember what happened on the cross, don't you? Where Jesus, there was a thief on one side, a thief on the other, and one of the thieves asked to be remembered. And Jesus told him right then, "You will be with me today in paradise." And then from the cross, Jesus prayed and he asked the Father to forgive all those that put him on the cross. It actually nailed him to the cross, that mistreated him before they did all that. He suffered for that. But on the cross, you see what love looks like when it just pours, when a person pours himself out completely for everyone that lives, ever lived, and will ever live. Jesus died for us all. And then he's promised us eternal life, a new life in the resurrection. So this particular kind of love, the best just definition that I can come up with, and I didn't come up with it, it came from a man named, a pastor named Adam Hamilton. And he says, agape is spontaneous, self-giving love expressed freely without calculation of cost or gain to the giver or merit on the part of the receiver. So agape love is a love based on love, mercy, and grace. Love, mercy, and grace. And you know what all of those things are. So, but Jesus doesn't just say, love God and love your neighbor. He says to love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Well, let's look at heart, soul, and mind a minute. Because the heart, all three of these biblical terms, when they're used in the Bible, they can mean so many things, and they really overlap a lot in terms of what they are. And soul has always been kind of a mystery of sorts of exactly what is that. But the best I can do with it is the heart is where your beliefs come to life, and your desires and your desire to be obedient comes from the heart. Now, believe me, the heart is alive. It's keeping you alive right now. Yours is. And I had a heart attack last early October, the 5th of October, in fact, and had triple bypass surgery on the 7th. And I can tell you, your heart is keeping you alive. And when they finish with that surgery, they cool you down to stop your heart before they do that surgery. And then when they warmed me back up, the heart came back. But for a period of probably 2 or 3 hours, I was on a heart-lung machine. So they could do the heart surgery without me expiring. And it would be a still heart. So your heart is where your life force continues. As long as your heart is beating, you're still alive. But then he says, with all your soul. Well, soul to me is you know how you have a nature about you. And have you ever met anyone that's just angry? And everything they're about is exhibits anger. And the way they're short with people, and they just don't have time for anything, any nonsense or any, they just don't have time for anything that they're not wanting to have time for. And but to me, it's kind of like the life force of the body, but it's also a spiritual life force of the body. It's your inner life. It's that part of you. I think it's that part of you that causes you to and it's not a part of the body, and that's in the sense of an organ that you can identify. But I think it's where that God has put that desire to follow Him, that desire to love God and love your neighbor. It's that place where it's kind of like the source of who you become. And you know, becoming in our lives is not a one-day journey, is it? It's a lifelong journey, because we're all really still on the journey of becoming who we will become. Because I don't know about you, but I've changed a lot, particularly in the last 20 years, in terms of how I see the Lord, in terms of how I am led to share that love of God, and am just amazed at, but that life force is the soul, which kind of, maybe that's the place where that spark of God lives. It's calling, trying to nudge us to move forward in our spiritual and in our life as we go down the road. And then the mind, you know, the mind's kind of that place. Well, again, the mind is not a real organ either. The mind is kind of that part of us that tends to, although the brain is involved, the mind is where we decide what we're going to do. What we're going to do. Did y'all ever get into, especially you men, did you ever get into any mischief when you were growing up? Anybody raise their hand that's guilty? Guilty is charged. Okay. Well, we got some honest people in the house. That's very, very good. Because, you know, we all decided to do something, and we knew when we did it, it wasn't right, didn't we? I mean, we were real good at, in the neighborhood where I grew up in Mobile, Alabama, we were real good at going around at night in the car and dumping over people's trash cans they'd put out for the pickup. And we were real proud of that. And we had a lot of things we did growing up that we knew when we were doing them and when we were planning to do them that they weren't right. But, you know, kids will be kids. And somehow they have to figure that out. Again, life is a journey. And we figure it out. But the mind is where we decide what we think about the Lord. It's where we decide what we're going to do for the Lord. It's where we decide, particularly in our society, what's the next thing we're going to buy. You know, and now we can buy it at home. We can go get it at the store, either way. But, you know, we kind of use our mind is what leads us, or we decide every day what it is that we're going to do next. And so it's kind of a reflective consciousness. And it's where we do our moral thinking. It's where we do our meditating and reflection is in the mind. But it's in conjunction with our heart and our soul that we do that. So I think that's what we... So basically, as I see it, and as I can make sense out of it all, is that we give over our entire selves. You give over your entire self, body, mind, soul, that you give it over to the will of God, and you give it over to loving God and loving your neighbor. And it's from that point where you evaluate yourself and decide what's next that I'm going to do. And, you know, you see people sometime doing something, and like particularly the folks that collect money at traffic signals that with a sign that says, you know, homeless or whatever the sign says. Do you have instances where you're just led when you see the person and the situation to give them something? And in other times, you're not led at all. You have that happen to you? Yeah, I think we're all guilty of that, but you know, we kind of do some evaluating there or judging there as we come up on that person, and it could be nothing but the mood you're in. That, you know, I'm not gonna mess with that today. You know, that kind of thing. Or all I got's a $20 bill. Or whatever it is that stops you from doing that. But you know, we do pick and choose, it seems, when we're willing to help someone and when we're not in the situation. And you know, then let's look at what Jesus is talking about. Who is your neighbor? Now, you know, remember in the scripture, first scripture today, from Leviticus, that in that scripture, it ends up saying, love God. No, it just ends up saying, love your neighbor as yourself. And all that you do, love your neighbor. And so who is your neighbor? Now, in the Old Testament, originally in the Old Testament, you're going to find that neighbor really meant other Jewish people. That's what it meant. Other people, their kinfolks, and like if you remember this church, it would be help all your neighbors. And if you live in a neighborhood, it would be help your neighbor. But your neighbors are more than those that live around you. Because in the New Testament, things were opened up. Things were opened up, and we were to love God and love our neighbors. And neighbors has come to be understood and also in Scripture, understood to be everyone but you. If that makes any sense. So it's, you know how you talk about they did this and they did that and they did the other, or you talk about the other, and you know, in effect, our neighbor is all the others, not just the others in our country or our city or our town or our county, but in the world. We're to live to love God and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And it, you know, this is a time in the history of this country that we're going through a whole lot of seeing food lines that if you went and talked to every person in every car, people at all levels of society, people that had jobs and don't have jobs, people that have run on hard times now to the point to where they can't even pay for their food. They don't have enough income to even pay for their food. And these lines now go on for miles. I was talking to somebody the other day that helped give out 50,000 pounds of food in one day. 50,000 pounds of food in one day. There's big needs out there, and it's up to us to decide how we can step up, even in this time of quarantine and COVID, to step up and still help others and do what we can do with what we have. So the neighbor is really all the others. Everybody but you. All the others. So if we boil all this down, I think we can just say that the gospel, the good news, is about the power of love. Because it's through the power of the Holy Spirit we can each and all live into these commandments Jesus considered as the greatest. So may God bless our journeys as we learn and grow into living out this gospel of love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us confess what we believe by words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Lord, let us be a people who truly provide liberty and justice for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. May we value every citizen. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Help us strive to be a people who agree on basic human values. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, help us stand tall in the world without arrogance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Help us be a people that provides for the poor, the weak, and the hungry. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Make us a people who condemn white supremacy and who speak out against domestic terrorism. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Help us heal our divisions, seek unity, and have civil and productive discourse about our differences. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us be a people who revere all nature and who live in harmony with living creature, with every living creature. Lord, in your mercy, let us love and cherish Mother Earth as she has loved us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for strong, intelligent, honest, and steadfast leaders. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us be a people who seek and promote peace among all peoples. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we pray for those in this congregation who are having hard times, whether it be sickness or other issues going on in their lives. We pray for Burnett, Gary, Walter, Aldine, Teresa, Jean, Carrie, Libby, Barbara, Mary, Bill, Rex, Harold, Scott, Joe, Norris, Michael, and Terry. And Lord, we pray your blessings upon those in our friends and family who are also facing challenges in our community and in our world and in our circle of friends that we know. We ask your blessings upon them. We ask, you know every person's situation, and we pray for healing, health, and wholeness for all of these members of the church and for our friends and family. And we ask it in Jesus' name. This time, let's share the peace of Christ with one another. Peace of Christ be with you. Amen. Thank you.
Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. By your word, you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts: freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-given love. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Send forth your spirit of truth, O God. Rekindle your gifts within us. Renew our faith. Increase our hope and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I pray that you would go with us, O Lord, as we go out into the world, and help us to live into this most important, the greatest commandments, to love God and love our neighbor. And to do it, Lord, in such a way, in thought, word, and deed, that it can be received in the love it is sent through and done through, so that your will be done, and that we might truly be known as those that truly follow Jesus. Amen.
The mission statement of Holly Grove. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Thanks be to God.